feeling so ready. And these weights are getting heavy. Need to do something big before the king's men get me in a hurry, see. Because homeland security has got to crack down while they redesign the currency with an urgency. This is a national emergency. Hauling off our families to prison camp facilities is killing me. Most people here don't even know, though. They can't see the countries run by pedophile mafiosos. The FEMA trains are coming. The new world is here. And most people are so caught up that they don't care. Never mind the state of the world, never mind what's vital. Let's just sip our Coca-Cola while we watch American Idol. Never mind the war in Africa, Iraq, North Korea. We'd rather get the latest scoop on Brad and Angelina. That's cause Hollywood has got us on that Kool-Aid, keeping us distracted while they prep us for the new age, the rise of transhumanism. People, this is true. It isn't something that I got out of a movie or cartoon. They want to put a chip in you, so do you want to let them do it? They're halfway there, and yes, the minions will pursue it unless the people say no. Let the people take hold. Let the people rise up and show them people got soul. If the people got soul, then now's the time to stand up. If you won't stand up, then be prepared to bow down
to the new world police state. This is what it is now. Mandatory vaccines for you and your kids now. Time that you resist now, cause this is your life. I'ma raise my voice because that is my right. The new world police state, this is what it is now. RFID chip for you and your kids now. Time that you resist now, cause this is your life. I'ma raise my voice because that is my right.
We live inside a systematic, never-ending war. A cross between Brave New World and 1984, where everyone is doped up, addicted to the telescreens, right down to all these bourgeois motherfuckers telling me my music is too this, my music is too that. I need better hooks, better beats, and I need to stop rapping. What I need to do is stop listening to everyone else, cause I don't need a label. I release this shit myself. I don't write this for the radio. I'm speaking from my heart. So go ahead, let these critics criticize my art. What it comes down to is my lyrics are too smart. And the truth is something major labels aren't trying to market. Your children are the target and your energy the means. We're running on a wheel, working hard for this machine. And if you all know what I mean, then I believe there's no reason we couldn't all come together hard and call treason on the motherfuckers violating each and every day. No, this isn't freedom, this is modern day slavery. It's time we break chains and set the whole world free. Now's the time to speak, because we deserve peace.
New world police state, this is what it is now. Mandatory vaccines for you and your kids now. Time that you resist now, cause this is your life. I'ma raise my voice because that is my right. The new world police state, this is what it is now. RFID chip for you and your kids now. Time that you resist now, cause this is your life. I'ma raise my voice because that is my right.
Look at how they treat us when we go through TSA. But if there's a real threat, CIA just walks them on the plane. It's a mafia-run business, and we'll never know the whole plan. But they do it in the name of the homeland.
New world police state.
Okay. Blog Talk is acting up tonight. Welcome back to the California Guys Show. Man, Blog Talk be tripping every time I use this damn Blog Talk. I am sorry, listeners out there. So, you know, bear with me. I'm about to stream this shit. So, hold on a sec. Let me work on something real quick and get into our discussion. Okay, yeah, sorry about that. So, yeah, welcome to my show. And, you know, I'm waiting for my blog talk to play through. So, bear with me. So, sorry, I'm trying to get my notes together. Because, yes, blog talk as usual has having issues with their phone center. So, you know, I'm up to, because, you know, you pay money for Blog Talk to do these podcasts. It's, and I've been on a hiatus for a while. So Blog Talk decided to act up tonight. I'm early, ready to go, ready to do this show, and whammo, we have this issue. You know, it's just really, really messed up today. With Blog Talk Radio. They totally threw stuff up, but this is a long show, so I'm not worried about it. We may do what little we have. As usual, this is technology, so and this is the internet, and you've got all these different companies. This is, it's in its infancy. So, so it's in its infancy. So, you know, technology, it's like that with technology. Shit happens. So, but welcome to the show, people. And let's get started. Yes, we had a bunch of, yeah, like I was saying earlier at the top of the hour, we have a lot of nerd culture took place this week. An explosion of trailers have came across the web this week. It was a Star Wars celebration this week. They showed the, what's that? Force Awakens. They've actually showed Force Awakens trailer. I think Friday or Thursday, they showed Force Awakens. I know people have been waiting to hear Kelly Guy's thoughts on Force Awakens. And I have to say, I'm impressed. Really good trailer that I saw. I enjoyed everything with it. It still doesn't tell me if the movie's good or not. But since they showed the trailer, there's been talks of billion-dollar openings and everything else. So, yeah, we'll see. You know, but the thing is, but $2 billion, you have people predicting. So, the Star Wars celebration, I watched the first half of it. It was nice seeing the old actors come out. The young actors is questionable. I don't want to get behind them until I see them acting. You know, I want to see them acting. So, you know, just to the fans, boys out there, you know, I'm going to see the acting part. Okay, let me see. I got a call on it. And then Blog Talk changed the studio. So hold on 1 second, Pete. 347, you're on the air.
Hey, what's poppin', Chief? What's good with you? Your boy.
Nothing much, man. Oh, man, I've been having a hard time the first 5 minutes because Blog Talk has changed the settings, you know. So I've been having a hard time because they reconfigured their settings. So it kind of messed up. So I kept fading in and out the first couple of minutes.
Okay.
So coming through my show for a loop, but you know, we back on top again. Kelly Guys will never get shut down. So Blog Talk, I'm gonna send an email to them because this is like the third time this has happened. You know, I can't even start my show properly, but yeah, that's a complaint for another time. But yeah, I was talking about the nerd explosion that's happened in the last week, and I was starting at the bottom of the show with Star Wars. You know, Star Wars, you know, had the trailer that just came out. Ant-Man had a trailer that came out. Fantastic Four had a trailer that came out. And also, last but not least, at them tonight, this is a longer show, people. And, you know, there's going to be, I'm going to do another show this week also. I'm going to go deeper. Oh, and if you guys are looking for my Daredevil stuff, I will be doing a show on Daredevil. And I'll let people know when that takes place. Anybody that's seen all the episodes, we're going to do a wrap up with the TV comic book movies also later this week, because I can't do all these topics into one. So, hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, good like always. I appreciate you for having me on the show. So,
I'm happy that you guys could come on. You know, you guys need a platform. You know, we watch these different, you know, YouTube movie shows and geek videos and all the stuff that comes on. You know, this is a platform for people to really get the bare bones of alternative fandom. You know, I look at my show as alternative fandom, is what that is. You know, we, you know, I, I'm not going to say stuff that's really popular with the masses, but I'm going to give great critical thinking, critical, you know, make the fans think. That's what it's all about. You know, we don't cheerlead everything, and we're not haters either. Back to what I was saying about Star Wars real quick, Campbell. I know you're going to chime in. You know, people look for your critiques and crossfires and chosen ones and different people that come on the show, 888. So that's what California Guys platform is all about. But I was going to say, it was nice seeing the Star Wars celebration with the old actors. And then the young actors, I'm still leery of. You know, I got to see them on the screen. So I'm not one of those people that's going to say, because I haven't heard them talk, that, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing. We'll see. The trailer was good at best. I mean, it did what it's supposed to do, what trailers do, and it's good. So I don't want people to get it twisted. But with Star Wars, yeah, it's true that Star Wars back, the fans were sold, you know. And then Rogue One, we're going to talk touch on that, too. So they both released two trailers, so it just shows the Disney power that's happening with Star Wars. So I personally didn't like the teaser trailer, but, you know, that's going to be a big hit later this year. So K1 thoughts.
Oh, like I said, just to reiterate, just appreciate you giving me the platform to express my opinions, man, like always in these troubling times. For people that don't know, the California
Guy
brand.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second real quick. Crossfire's on the air. So Crossfire, you're on, but keep talking to let people know that you're on.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, what's going on with you, Crossfire? What's good with you, Chiz?
Hey, nothing much. Good evening, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah, but like, you know, California Guy brand is the place to be for unbiased, unfiltered, and original opinions in this field of fandom. The only brand to do it these days, it's not a dictatorship. When you come on the show, you're allowed to voice your opinions and so forth. Get into all the news of the week, man. It's been some interesting tidbits that slipped out in pop culture, and obviously people have been, you know, on their seats when they hear what I had to say about the Force Awakens teaser trailer, second teaser trailer in its full glory. And I'm just kind of reiterate what I told Crossfire behind the scenes when it first launched with the panel and so forth. And I'm not completely swayed, but I'm lukewarm, but on a positive tip. And I'm going to go into the explicits why. The thing with me, one of the reasons why I had so much military opposition against Star Wars, and I still do to a degree, is because I feared that Disney, being the corporate conglomerate it was going to ultimately miss the bigger picture in telling, you know, real character-driven stories, things that kind of made Star Wars fundamentally powerful in the first place. Now, again, the trailer aesthetically, and this is just me, this is something I said to Jackal within the group. He could, you know, attest to if he wants to call in or whatnot. I said that aesthetically, J.J. evolved on the series so far, but still stayed true to the spiritual texture of Star Wars, would make it work. But I'm afraid that he's going to do so much to please the fans, the core fan bases, that he's probably not going to end up creating a new set of... I don't think this Star Wars is going to really indoctrinate people that don't know anything about the mythology and get them on board. I could be wrong, but there's a lot of things that I've seen in terms of the scape of the story. I mean, there's been speculation on, you know, what's going to happen with some of the characters, especially the veteran characters, this passing of the torch or whatnot. But again, I'm lukewarm, but in a positive way. I could have been negative. I could have been real pessimistic and just obliterated the whole thing, which everybody was expecting me to do. But, you know, I'm a rational and reasonable man. And I knew the reception was going to go over well, particularly with the veteran fans, seeing these iconic characters come back for after 30-plus years. I can't see how anybody wouldn't respond that way to them. But like I've stated from day one, it's all about the potency of the story. It's all about this franchise transforming itself, transcending itself to another level. And I just don't, right now, there's apprehension, but he has my intrigue. So my opposition is inside a bit until December. I'm not going on the bandwagon and say it's going to be the greatest movie of all time, it's the highest grossing film of all time. I think a lot of those analysts are premature in their predicting. Nobody knows what's going to happen until the people ultimately see the product and whether it resonates with people or not. I think we just have to wait and see how that things, you know, transpire, ultimately play itself out. But as so far, the other trailers like Fantastic Four have no interest in it. That's a complete bastardization of the, you know, the source material. You know, California knows this all too well, being an aficionado. I think they've completely went off the whack because they want to secure the film rights as long as they can. And, you know, listen, I don't expect that film to do any more than what it's going to be. I don't care if they have a crossover potential with the X-Men. I just don't see Simon Kinberg and company, whoever's handling that property over, I just don't see them having any success with that. So my mind hasn't been altered on that. So far as the debacle, you know, Zack Snyder was going to do what I knew he was going to do, which was to literally cut and paste some of the iconography from The Dark Knight Returns but completely missed the mark on the whole story. Already having Superman and Batman meet each other in this setting without the appropriate setup is kind of suicidal any old way. And, you know, the trailer solidified the tone, which I knew it was going to go. And I understand that Warner Brothers wants to have this extreme contrast compared to Marvel. They want to differentiate themselves from each other. But the problem with that is that none of these characters rooted in solid ground. Nobody has been able to have a budding relationship with them. There's no rapport. You know, Superman is built on a faulty foundation. So if you can't get him right, what you can expect from, you know, the rest of the Justice League members? And despite what other people are denying, Henry Cavill confirmed what we all knew since this movie was announced, since inception, that this is a premature Justice League debacle. This is something to segue immediately into that. Man of Steel is not getting an official sequel until, I'm assuming, if these films start to do well, maybe Cavill would get another sequel. But as it stands right now, he's going to be cameoing in his own movie. He's going to be playing, you know, second fiddle to Ben Affleck. And the trailer was underwhelming, man. So, again, I can't expect that movie to do nothing more than $800 million at best. You know, I don't care what all the sheep are jumping up about, anything. Listen, the reception is mixed. And if the reception is mixed, that's a strong indication of how that film will play itself out. I don't care how sophisticated and how dark Chris Terrio or David Goyer try to go. They completely missed the mark with Superman. And if you miss the mark with Superman, that's it. The rest is going to follow. So I don't care what anybody says. The debacle is dead on arrival. It stays where it's going to be. It's Watchmen 3.5 in terms of the aesthetics, the feel of it. It has no – I don't even see how a Justice League is necessary in a world like that, so bleak and so black. And all of these DC sheep, they're just pathetic, man. Just pathetic living delusions. And I feel sorry for them because come March 25th, my prophecy is going to come full circle. I predicted everything consistently for the past 2 years. And, you know, other people could deny it, but they see it. And that's it. You know, Star Wars, it is what it is. Daredevil, I have not had the pleasure of seeing it in its entirety, but everything that I've seen has been done pretty well in terms of the structure of it. It's very intelligently written. Mm-hmm. Choreographed is done very well. And, you know, I expect them to continue to have success on Netflix or their projects. So that's basically it. I mean, Star Wars, yeah, for people that want to know, I'm lukewarm. I'm not completely convinced. I'm not letting my fanaticism blind. I'm still on the fence with that because it could mm-hmm. still go the other way. But for right now, it's a decent trailer at best. And kudos to Disney, kudos to Kathleen Kennedy, J.J. Abrams for getting everybody hyped up about that. But that's all I got to say.
Cam, what you got to say about all this news this week?
Oh, okay, well, again, well, thank you for having me on the show.
No problem.
I agree. I mean, most of what Cameron said. I mean, a lot of stuff dropped. A lot of new stuff dropped. A lot of trailers. First, I want to talk about Ant-Man for a second. Ant-Man, it had a cool trailer that dropped before The Force Awakens. It had a cool trailer, but I really truly believe that that movie will, I don't think it's going to make as much money as Guardians did. I don't think, and I, even though Guardians overperformed, I really think that Ant-Man is getting lost in the hype of Age of Ultron just a little bit, because you got to understand this movie comes out 2 months after Age of Ultron. But I'm going to see the movie, and I'm sure you gentlemen will see it well as well.
Oh, yes, yes. You know how I feel about the movie, right?
Yeah. So,
well, the trailer, well, I didn't even get a chance to comment on that. But the thing with the Ant-Man trailer for me, you know what, I'm intrigued by the film, but, you know, it wasn't that memorable. But, you see, one of the things I have to point out to people, even if Ant-Man underperforms, even let's just say it happens, and when I mean underperformed, I mean, somewhere in the vicinity under $500 million. That's still a success because, you know, the Marvel movies are very cheaply made, unlike what's going on with Warner Brothers where, the debacle is the budget for the debacle is $250 million. So they put themselves in an interesting position to where all the money they're going to spend on marketing, and if they have to make they have to generate $1 billion revenue or to taste any kind of relative success. So, I don't want to hear. I mean, listen, man. The DC, the sheep are killing me right now. I let them have
the thing. We won't get to that because we have a longer show tonight. But I want to hear Fisher and Towns part real quick. I know you know it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, and also with the Fantastic Four trailer, listen. In the trailer, you know, the second trailer came out, they revealed a lot of stuff, they showed the Thing in his entirety, and as for cinematic, I think the Thing looks spot on, he looks perfect, the way he looks, but when they showed Dr. Doom, I'm sorry, that's just complete garbage, that is just so weak, and it felt like, it looked like a dude who was cosplaying, and listen, this movie, Fantastic Four, I have no doubt, I think that there's intrigue there from a lot of people because it's a new take and it's something, you know, it's very new. It's still a Marvel movie. There's still Marvel heroes, but, you know, Fox is trying to gear them towards, you know, joining the X-Men like K-1 said. And, I don't know if I'll see it, honestly. I don't know if I'll see it. If there's probably nothing else out, then I'll probably go see it. But as it stands now, I don't know. The movie looks very bad to me. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that. And then when it comes to The Force Awakens, well, I mean obviously I loved it. The thing about one of the things about this trailer that that a lot of people that I've talked to could at least agree with me on is that it brought back a lot of things that, you know, a lot of memories from the original trilogy. It brought back so many things that people loved about the original trilogy, and I think that was the goal of J.J. Abrams. I mean, Star Wars Celebration was amazing. Hearing the cast talk about the movie, hearing Kathleen Kennedy talk about the movie, J.J. Abrams. I mean, there's such a love there that I know that by the time this movie comes out, that this collaborative thing that's going on, they're going to give 110% and put their all into it as much as they can. Whether that generates a good or bad movie, I don't know. But as it stands for me, I loved it. It gets my, you know, thumbs up. And as far as the analysis, you know, I personally think it'll make $1 billion, but, you know, it can always change. I mean, another trailer could come out and totally piss the fans off, so it remains to be seen. But as a champ, I'm excited. Dawn of Justice, I mean, what can I say that hasn't already been said? It's mixed. I had a chance to go to the IMAX pre-screening. And, I saw the extra footage. As I said before, Dawn of Justice is going to be style over substance. It's going to have
exactly
all these. It's going to have the action. The look is going to be there, and that's what mostly people are going crazy over. I haven't heard anybody talk about, you know, story or anything like that, where they're going to go with it. You know, for me.
Listen, real quick, if I could just interject, and I'm not trying to be rude.
Go ahead.
I just, listen. You mentioned the classic thing that we always have a tendency to talk about on the show, which is style over substance. Now, again, I hate to keep reminding people this. This is the theatrical debut of these icons in the same medium. This has never been done before. The fact that it's underwhelming now, just give credit to the fact that Zack Snyder, again, when I remember people, if you go back and listen to a show I did, which is infamous now, in the summer of 2013, when this debacle was announced, I predicted this very atmosphere that was going to happen, that it was not going to be anything that Warner Brothers could do. I don't care if you do a Justice League prequel. It's still not enough to satisfy, everybody on the universal level. This is a thing with, you know, Snyder, not just more Snyder, because this is Kevin Susiara, this is Greg Silverman, this is Diane Nelson, this is the other corporate dragon.
I caller too. Yeah, I have another caller on. Let me see. I know it's chosen. Let me welcome him to the show real quick. Sorry to cut you in off. And welcome to the show, Chosen.
Hey, how's everybody?
What's going on?
Great, man. Go ahead, K1. I didn't
interrupt. I'm just saying. So, again, with that mentality, which is, again, it's greed and profit over quality, I can't expect anything else but that. You know, Snyder, like I've stated before, being a literalist and taking something and not doing anything innovative with it, you know, it just goes to show this thing is, I mean, if this is what the people want, I give it to them. You know, I predicted it. I don't give a damn if they release 3 or 4 of the trailers. This is not getting $1 billion. This is going to go down as one of the greatest colossal failures in comic book cinematic history. And Snyder head will be on the guillotine. He will be on suicide watch. Nothing is going to change that. I don't care if you put Martian Manhunter, Green Lantern, all these, quantity doesn't equal quality, as I've said.
Exactly.
And, you know, the people at the end of the day have grown sophisticated, you know, at least to some degree, to where they pay attention to details with stories. And I just, you know, listen, I leave it to where it is. You know, Star Wars, again, that has a stronger possibility of overperforming given the reception, but I'm still on the fence. I mean, I don't know if Chosen caught, you know, that's on, you know, repeating what I said about Star Wars. I'm lukewarm about that. I have a very lukewarm reception about it. It didn't blow me away in terms of nostalgia or anything like that, but it did open up my curiosity. My intriguement factor is heightened because of some of the things that I've seen. Now, if they deliver what I want as a fan, then I'll be the first to tell you guys that it was immaculate. It was a masterpiece. But for now, you know, the verdict is still out. But, you know, my opposition, again, has subsided, you know, as I said before. So I have no hope for Dawn. And I let all the delusional sheep talk all of their manta out there and everything. It's just not going to happen. You know, age is pressing to do at least another. If it doesn't do as much as the first one, it's still going to do over $200 million next week. So it's a wrap either way. I said it, and I claimed it. It's over. So, and all the people still talk their madness, I let them go where they want to go. So, but Chosen, if you want to add anything, you know.
No, go ahead. No, I don't want to mess up you guys' flow. I don't know what you guys have discussed so far. But it sounds to me like the trailer for Dawn of Justice was a little underwhelming. Is that correct or no?
Mediocre. It's mediocre at best. It raises some interesting questions, but it still doesn't wipe the stain of, because the thing is like this. Superman should have had another opportunity to grow as a character on film. You know, Snyder should have, he should have really forced his hand and making the goal to reconstitute Superman and make him a real relevant figure, and at least cinematically, because we know he's always going to be revered in the comic book community, but they should at least put emphasis on that. But the fact that they're doing the JLO prequel just for the profit, man, as I've said before, this thing, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for March 25th, 2016. And I'm going to go on such a tirade. I'm going to tear down all. I mean, I don't know what more can I add to it. Everything I said, Joseph.
Well, not just you. I've said it also. But it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I go online and people are split, but it should not be 50-50 like this. This is the first time Batman and Superman are on screen together.
Now,
right?
You tell me, isn't that an indication that this movie is in trouble?
That's what I've been saying, and people are calling me crazy, but I don't know, man, because I'm out. I don't need to see any more trailers. I'm out. I'm not watching.
Okay, well, here's the thing that people need to understand. When you see, you would think that seeing Batman and Superman in the same space would be powerful, iconic, and would move some people. But instead, they make it into this beat 'em up, Mortal Kombat, you know, boxing match. It seems more about about these two fighting rather than the grander scheme of things. You know, it just seems that they're just hyping this up to be just a brawler. And again, it's not going to have any sort of point to it. I mean, there has to be, as I told K1 and California Guy off air, there has to be a significant reason why these characters are fighting like this.
Cameron, let me ask you something, okay? When you watched the Star Wars prequels, right, did you feel cheated?
Did I feel cheated?
Did you feel like that was the Anakin Skywalker story that you should have gotten at the end of the day?
Well, you've got to understand, you're talking to a guy who grew up with seeing the prequels first and then seeing the original.
Now I
know that the originals are far superior. Looking back on it now, though, I do realize that the prequels had a lot of problems with it, a lot of plot holes, a lot of things that just didn't add up to, you know, the events that were alluded to in the originals. You know, so but I'll tell you this though, seeing the Force Awakens trailer and seeing the way it looked. I can very much say that now I understand what fans of the original were talking about when they said, that's not Star Wars. You haven't seen the real Star Wars yet. And then when I saw The Force Awakens trailer, I was just like, wow, like that's, now I understand where you guys were coming from, you know, when you telling me that the prequels hold no weight in terms of the original. I was just like, well,
right.
I was in awe.
Here's the thing, though. We still don't know what Abrams and Kasdan has implemented in this new narrative. I mean, I don't know if you caught what I said earlier about one of the things that I was applauding JJ for, and that was the fact that he was able to evolve some of the aesthetic look of it and still stays true to the spiritual nature of Star Wars, spiritual texture, where it looked. You know what I'm saying? It still got its own feel of it. But my thing always comes down to the fact, it was seen that it's going to be successful. You know, the reception is real high. I mean, it's a lot higher than I anticipated. But the thing is,
K1, it looks and it feels good. I can't deny that, you know. I can't. I mean, there have been two teaser trailers, and I was actually expecting the next trailer to be an actual full trailer with some dialogue. So I said this on the podcast once. That means one of two things. Either they're hiding or they're holding back for a reason and strategically, you know. So, but as far as these two teaser trailers, you've got to give it up. They've done everything they're supposed to do when it comes to staying in the parameters of that teaser, of what a teaser is supposed to be.
Right.
So I have no fault with them. But again, I'm waiting on a full trailer before I fully submit, you know, saying that I'm going to go in and see this. But when it comes to, you know, when I asked Cameron, you know, didn't feel he got cheated with the prequels, and that's a good answer that Cameron gave. puts things in perspective. But the reason I ask that question is because it's like, if Batman and Superman are supposed to be on the screen, I don't care if it was a teaser. I was supposed to get more than what I got in that teaser, which is why I'm fully confident when I tell you guys that I'm out. $12 to get to Snyder and Warner Brothers for what I saw. It's not happening. No,
well,
way.
There's alternative means of seeing the movie, but I'm not going to promote that here. But listen, I'm just saying, it's just the style, the way it looks stylistically, it's just when the because I'm you know, it's obvious that it leaked out before it officially was released on Friday, and I contacted CrossLight immediately, and I said, "Oh, this thing is out." And within the first 5 seconds into it, I was already just like, "Oh my God, this thing is." It's depressing, it's bleak. Do we need to? This is the same tonality that Cripple Man is still. Why would you try to replicate this? And I said to myself, like, when I see, and this is real talk. And don't get it twisted. I'm a fan of Ben Affleck. I'm actually one of the few that's riding with him in this position. But when I seen him in that space, it literally looked like he was doing a screen test. You know what I'm saying? Like he's trying to sell the audience. Like he doesn't even believe in the material.
You mean
now
the shot when he's
staring
at
the back suit and you hear Jeremy Irons dialogue or whatnot, and I'm just like, I think that was it for me. That's when I was just like, you know what?
Yep.
Everything that I was saying I was looking at this man's body language from this, I just, like, he doesn't believe in, and you know, the funny thing, if this thing makes money, I still don't think it's going to make a billion, but let's just say it happens. They're going to adhere to this particular model of storytelling. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to even at least say, okay, you know, we made the desired revenue that we wanted, but let's bring some fresh perspectives into here, because we still don't want to run the risk of being inconsistent. See, people are, you know, out there, the sheep are out there, and they're saying, oh, you know, if they make a billion, they didn't have to do what Marvel did. They did their own.
Right. The CK one, I don't think that's going to happen because of the sort of 50-50 split that this trailer has created. I think it puts an even bigger question mark on whether or not this movie's going to make a billion. I don't think it will.
$800 million in Justice League should be the billion-dollar priority at this point. 800 at minimum. They should just focus on telling a quality story, and then
too late for that. Way too late for that. Way too late. But this is what Snyder does.
And you know what's so funny about that? And here's the thing with the whole trailer. One of those is bizarre, because they decided to release the trailer on the same week and the same day as other big trailers. So, like, on that Friday, the teaser is debatable. But I question Warner Brothers, the way they operate, the way they push the movie.
What do you mean the teaser's debatable? What about the teaser's debatable?
Oh, no, the teaser's debatable on whether it's good or not. See, my thing with Warner Brothers is this, because I agree with that point. Some of the stuff in the trailer, you know, I didn't really care for either with Superman, you know, making Superman be, because I thought, this is what I think with Donald Justice. Let me just say real quick. I always thought the concept of Superman and Batman being on a big screen was ideology, which you see in the comic books and animation. Superman is sort of this light-hearted hero. You know, he's very light-hearted, and Batman, for better or worse, is a moody hero. I thought that in this trailer that you would have got maybe that divide. You would have got that ideology in it. It just seems so, you know, negative. And it seems bat-centric, by the way. And you know what? That brings me to this next point that I'm about to say. As I read an interview with Cavill, I think Chosen made a comment on my one of my statuses anyway. I posted up, I think you guys all know about it, where Cavill says that, you know, it's not even his movie no more. And it's sad because Cavill couldn't even match up his own franchise. He's going to basically be second fiddle in his own movie, in a Superman movie. It's going to be really a Ben Affleck movie. So that's what's disturbing. And he said it's a Justice League prequel. So Warner Brothers is now putting movies out, kind of like Amazing Spider-Man 1 did, to market other movies in one movie. Very bad practice on WB's part. So I don't know. I have to step in and just have to see that finished product. But so far, visually, it looks nice. I'll say that. Visually, you know, stuff
from California.
Nice, you know.
Listen, California, let me save you the headache. It's doomed. It's doomed. Jesus, I called it a long time ago. All you see what I'm saying is manifesting into reality. That's what disturbs
Listen,
me. And that's
it's totally right.
That's what saddens me, though. At the core of my soul, it's totally right.
You're exactly right. And one thing totally made a good point on two with that and a 50-50 split. It's not like, and I'm not trying to compare it. I know what people are going to say out there, the techno geeks, is that, oh, well, you know, it's like a village. Legends has always been united, believe it or not. Legends was united even beyond comic book fans. And I'm not trying to promote Avengers tonight, but it was always united amongst fans. Whereas Dawn of Justice is always, it's like Snyder and WB have a problem trying to bridge this gap with the fans. You know, you can't keep splitting the fans up. Shout out to fandom and check out the fandom people on YouTube. Me and Toby were going there, by the way. That's why I'm not putting too many opinions out there for Star Wars and Dawn, because there'd be a repeat. So check out fandom on YouTube channel, The Last Fandom Show, with the trailer breakdown. Chosen and Cali Guy was on there, and back then, I think Tom was on there also. I forgot his nickname on there, so Tom is going to kill me in my group. But check out the fandom YouTube channel and go to the last show we did on the weekend. If anybody want to know my real opinions on Star Wars, Dawn of Justice, and even Avengers trailers also. But my whole thing is with that is it's just the marketing is bizarre with Warner Brothers. So I don't know. But a lot of people are split, and it's too bad that the gap ain't bridged. So, you know, you do have to bridge the deal. I have a long way to go still.
But see, the thing is, take that split, right, Daryl, and then throw Aquaman, throw in Wonder Woman, throw in Cyborg, throw in, it's a mess. And Snyder keeps coming up short. In Watchmen, he came up short. Man of Steel came up short. And, you know, it's like a lot of people before this trailer.
I'm not trying to be rude. I don't mean to cut you off. You got to admit, though, that this is still a studio mandated film. Snyder, I'm going to repeat this again. I know I have a tendency to do that.
Right,
But in case people don't know, Snyder merely suggested Batman appearing in A Man of Steel 2 as a mere cameo. It was Warner Brothers that forcibly mandated him to expand it on the role and go outside of that. So it's really them. I mean, they have, again, don't get it twisted. Warner Brothers have a plethora of characters that they were supposed to exploit a long time ago. But the problem is, just like I said from day one, it took them $1.5 billion to be the ultimate incentive for them to do that. And like I said always from day one, if you do that, you're playing a dangerous game. You're playing a game
with
the fan base. You're playing a game with the consumers. And they already... It's not like you can't do a DC Cinematic Universe. It can be done. You just have to get the people in there and the system in there in order to make it work effectively. It's a real system. Don't get it twisted. I think Snyder has a look that he wants. You know, he's going to have a unique visual look for the DC. And I have no problem with that. The problem I have is him being at the helm of the storytelling. Because I know he's like a kid at times to where he just wants to see these characters fight. And there's nothing wrong with the action. It's just that, as California pointed out, one of the greatest parts about Batman and Superman, even when they were in a conflict, was their conflicting ideologies. And Henry Cavill is not set up for it. You know, Ben Affleck these characters is not built in right. Yeah, the names are out there. Everybody knows Bats and Supes. But you need so much more than that, especially when you attempt to something as complicated.
Let me ask you, the things that you need so much more of than what you're getting, is Snyder capable of giving you that on screen?
I think he's capable of translating certain elements, certain ideals, like with obviously with the Dark Knight Returns. I mean, we could get a handle on where he's going. I mean, you see the media influence in the trailer, the way everybody was kind of... with Superman's existence or whatnot. I mean, those are some good ideals. You could actually
That's the thing. This is very important because this is the same question. Let me tell you what I asked a lot of the TalkBack members back when Man of Steel coming out and that promotion and those trailers were being released, right? I asked them the question of, if Man of Steel succeeds, who do we give credit to? And do you know that no one could give me an answer?
Well, I'd say
there
were
so let me just solidify this. There were so many hands in the pot, right? You had Goyer, you had Nolan, you had Jonathan Goyer, right? You had so many people who had their fingerprints on that project. Right. No one, not even the supporters of Man of Steel, could answer that question for me. The things that you mentioned in the Batman vs. Superman teaser that you said that were good, who did that come from?
Okay, I'm going to tell you what. The thing, okay, with Man of Steel, right, and that's a good thing that you brought up. To clarify this, the Superman that you've seen, and this is fact, I don't care if any fools out there, they know who they are, they want to make videos or whatever, the Superman that was introduced to the world in Man of Steel was out of the concept of David Goyer and Christopher Nolan. That's fact. I don't give a damn if you could tap. It was Goyer that pitched the idea to the studios, and Nolan said he would help with the story treatment, and they went in and commissioned the film. That's fact. Snyder was being restrained by, Nolan even said this himself, that he just basically, everything that he did with Goyer, he just dumped it in Zack Snyder's lap and was like, okay, you go ahead and push this kind of, I don't know to do this kind of film. Now, Snyder is in full reign. He has more control, leeway to what he want to do creatively in this film. You could tell just by the tone. I mean, he basically took whatever he knew from Watchmen in terms of the style and Frank Miller, because he works with Frank Miller all the time, and he just that's all you're getting. You're not getting anything new and fresh with these characters in this world. Now, like I say, if anything comes, I think, intelligently out of A Dawn of Justice, then Chris Terrio is the master writer that everybody props him out to be. He knew how to structure those characters appropriately. None of that credit goes to Snyder. I still don't think he has it. I think he has aesthetic intelligence. I think he knows to give you a visually compelling film. But anything beyond that, man, he can't do it. He's been proven time and time again he lacks the ingenuity. I've said it.
And I'll say this. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say this to add on to K1's point, is that in Man of Steel, a lot of Zack Snyder's style was missing in that movie. And that's because Christopher Nolan, I think, was told him to hold back on a lot. Because, Snyder is, he loves to do slow motion. And he loves to do all. And I really don't like it. I'm really glad that he wasn't present in Man of Steel. But it seems that now that Christopher Nolan, let's be honest, let's be real, Christopher Nolan no longer has anything to do with these movies at this point. I mean,
the proof is
in the trailer. But what I'm sure, the thing is, at least Nolan's a good storyteller, and Zack Snyder is a person who just can't tell a gravitas kind of story. All he can do is just visual stuff, just visual stuff.
You're right on that. Not to cut you off, you're right, because let me chime in real quick. Tobin put up a very good point. Something that I think about. We're seeing a dangerous pattern, not only in Man of Steel, but even Dawn. Who do you give credit with? It's like fluctuated with different writers and producers. But this is an example of what Tobin is just saying. This is an example of a studio-run movie. Because when you have, three producers, three writers, it should be one. It's the same with Marvel, too. I don't want people to think that Marvel does the same thing, too. But they let it be known that at the end of the day, Marvel does that. They do that. Marvel feeds, controls your movies. You can't really do what you want to do outside of some parameters. But with DC, with Warner Brothers Films, they do the same. It's even worse because you got four people writing a script. Yes, four people deciding that. And Nolan couldn't do action sequences, by the way. He was a good storyteller, not a good action person. He's not a direct action scene or choreograph. That's one thing that he doesn't know how to do. Snyder, he could visually put stuff up there as art, but I don't know if he could do really good fight scenes either at the end of the day, and he doesn't do good story. So everybody has a handicap in this whole melting pot. So what Tolan's saying is, who do you give credit for? And it's a good point, because I've never thought about that. You can't give credit to really anybody. But like K-1 said, factually, and I know what Crossfire was going with this too, is that Nolan actually helped to moderate that screenplay. But it's so convoluted and split in many, many ways because he had too many talking heads. But now we're going to see with this movie coming up. Terrio, I don't have faith there, by the way, because Terrio only did one movie. So I don't give a damn if he did win an Academy Award for Argo. It means absolutely zero.
No, here's what I'm saying, though, California. Here's one thing. I don't mean to be rude. I'm saying that if I'm saying with Terrio, right? If it works, the intelligence, if it has any of that, then it's accredited to him. I'm not, and I agree with you. I mean, I call him out. I said, listen, this man, you know, possibly shouldn't be doing these comic book based, you know, films like, because he's a novice to this arena. I mean, you know, I think it would be a detriment.
Not to cut you off, K1 too, because we're coming up on time, we're coming up at the bottom of the hour. I wanted to kind of shift gears a little bit. I wanted to make a comment on something that I heard, not to shift from the bad earth, but I wanted to comment on something that AMC said the other day. I know Cam Crossfire, I don't know if he's seen it or not, but I was going to comment. I'm going to change the topic real quick. Campia and them said that the Guardians of the Galaxy will not be seen in they will not team up with Avengers, is what he said. He has a story. And I looked at that earlier today, and I want
to
know.
Can I just add on to that? The source that Campia supposedly has is something that James Gunn said about months ago. James Gunn, what people don't understand, has been the success of Guardians has been going through his head. He's trying to make the Guardians of the Galaxy his own thing and separate it from this Marvel machine. But the bottom line is he's just a tool like everybody else. He's a chess piece. If he doesn't abide by the parameters that Marvel has set up with their films, he could get ousted also.
Edgar Wright.
So I don't even – the Guardians probably more than likely probably would appear in Infinity War 1 or 2, so it's not up to him to say. He has no control over those characters. And Guardians 2 could still flop. Don't get it twisted. So if that flops –
I know it's going to flop. Wait a minute. Let me say this real quick. Guardians 2 is going to flop because I'm going to be honest with you. Guardians, let me just say this. Now, I'm not afraid to say it. Guardians of the Galaxy was cinematic garbage. It was okay. It wasn't the greatest thing in the world. Like, you know, I can hear these fans say it. I still want to hear Crossfire real quick, but, you know, I don't think Guardians was, to me, $700 million worth, you know. If it wasn't for the Marvel label on Guardians of the Galaxy, that would easily have flopped right on its ass. But, you know, Crossfire, could you adequately answer the question? What do you think about John Campion AMC saying that? Do you think that's a jet? I mean, give me your honest opinion. You think it's a jet?
Listen, Marvel would be totally missing an opportunity if they did not include Guardians and the Avengers in the same movie. I mean, I don't think they're going to do it anytime soon. But maybe in Infinity War Part 2, which is the last, you know, Phase 3 movie in their whole scheme of things. But, yeah, Marvel, I think that you'll eventually see Guardians and the Galaxy and the Avengers team. Because it's just Thanos is such a huge villain to where
exactly. He's
threatening every universe.
Why can't they say that, though?
He's threatening every universe.
He is. I agree with you. But why would Campion say that, though? Why would he say it confidently on AMC today that the Guardians is not going to even appear in it? Why do you think he – I know I came out already right, but why do you think he said it? Did you hear that when he said that in the AMC?
I think he said it because he just – he probably just wants he wants people to think that. Well, I have my own opinions about John Campion, but I really think that he wants people to like not get their hopes up. He wants people to think that he has the inside scoop and that you know that. So, because a lot of people follow John Campion, they believe a lot of things that he says.
Yeah.
John Campion has been wrong on a number of occasions, so it doesn't matter what source he has. So until I hear Marvel say it, I don't believe it.
But let me chime in real quick, and I'm going to let Chosen say something real quick. But I have my own opinion now. Let me tell you why, man. I know this is going to shock you, man. But it makes sense what John Campion is saying. I'm not saying that he has a source. I don't want people thinking that I think he has some sort of weird source. But let me tell you why it makes sense. When you see Infinity Gauntlet Part 1 and 2, that's the biggest, grandiose project probably in film history, period. Because you're going to combine different elements of multiple movies characters and ideals flowing in two-part movies. I tried to figure the angle out of how do you fit the Guardians. It is not because of how I feel about Guardians movie either. I don't want people thinking that. But I try to figure out, like, some ideas you can use, like Nebula, obviously, and Thanos, and certain things like that. But how do the Guardians fit into the movie? Well, it would have to be a threat to Earth in the Infinity Gauntlet for you to fit the Guardians. Because you're going to combine elements. How do you fit Doctor Strange into the movie? How do you fit the newer Avenger members? Because you're going to have different Avenger members to come see Spider-Man. So that's the filming process. I'm trying to imagine, like, how this whole film process is going to go. I think you said it because, you know, like, logically trying to put the Guardians in there. That's a very grandiose project, though. Two parts. It will take two-part movies, but I don't know. But, Chosen, do you have any thoughts or anything you have to say?
None of that. No.
So that's just me personally, but I'm going to move on from that. I just wanted to get that. Anything you guys want to say? This is overtime. Anything that anybody wants to talk about? But I always talk about
I just wanted to give you, there's some news that recently just came out as we were talking.
Oh, go ahead.
Apparently there's a Spider-Man shortlist revealed, supposedly, rumor, that and they named like five actors that are rumored to play the role of Spider-Man in Civil War. And I just want to be the first to say right now, as it stands, I think all of them are garbage. I think all of them are completely
tough fight. Let me tell you something before you go there. I told you if Marvel, what did I tell you? And I said this on a couple of shows back. What would Marvel do with Spider-Man that they couldn't do with Sony that was going to all California die? I told you.
I'm not talking about story. I'm not talking about.
Wait a minute. Let me say this. This is the beginning of the end. This is what happens when a studio takes over the character. And I told you, you guys were going to, me and K-1 said that you guys, a lot of comic book fans out there, hey, maybe go back to Marvel. I kept hearing that. I told you, be careful with what you wish for. And they're going to do stuff that people, and again, what was the big deal with fans? I'm going to let you finish the point, but what was the big deal with fans? The American? That's laughable. What were they going to do? And I received in an interview when he said, that, you know, there's so many different storylines we're going to use. And I'm like, okay, Steve, but again, you're going to just play Spider-Man next to Captain America. And then
yeah, well, that was the, well, the only thing that I can tell Feige wanted was for Civil War. I mean, that was the big, big, big thing that he wanted.
So
he wanted Spider-Man and Civil War. It had nothing to do with no solo movies. It had nothing to do with it going forward. I mean, now we know that the deal to have Spider-Man in the MCU is until 2019. So,
you're just telling me new stuff. Wait a minute. Break that down. That's what the news is for. Break that down to me.
They said that the deal with Marvel and Sony deal lasts until 2019. So that's at the end of Infinity War Part 2. So, and after that, I don't know, maybe they'll re-sign the deal, but as it stands now, Marvel's going to be in the cinematic universe for a while, at least up until Infinity War Part 2. Feige confirmed that. Feige confirmed that himself when he was doing the press for Age of Ultron. And as a fan, I wanted Spider-Man, my favorite comic book hero, to be a part of what Marvel was doing. Because it just seems Marvel was so successful and they were just treating their characters right, and I just wanted Spider-Man to be a part of that. Now looking at it, listen, I don't know about no story. I'm just saying if this is the list, five actors that they're down to, that they have, this list is completely garbage. It's completely garbage. And I for one, will not support whoever is cast. I don't care who it is. So
wow.
That's just my stance on it.
Okay, when you're going to talk.
My thoughts?
Ken, when you have any thoughts?
Oh, I wanted to ask Chosen a couple of questions. What do you thought about the Terminator Genesis debacle, the second trailer to that?
Oh, that's
did you see the Oh, don't speak of it as an abomination. Keep it safe.
It's not even worth the breath that we've already put out. No.
I take it Jurassic World, Hateful Eight. Hateful Eight obviously didn't really show anything, but it was something that leaked out about that. What about this new Alien, Alien 5 with Neil Blomkamp with Sigourney Weaver and Michael Biehn? Are you supporting that or no?
I like the pictures. I like Blomkamp. So as of now, I'm just waiting to see more. But I am intrigued on that. I'm definitely intrigued. He's saying all the right things. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so you're down with them kind of disavowing the Alien debacle and all of that. You're down with them. Okay.
Yes, yes. They're saying the right things.
What do you think of Star Wars Rogue One?
See, the fact that I know that they say that it's going to be somewhat of a standalone-ish type film, I think that makes it good. See, I don't know if you guys watched any of the Clone Wars cartoons that were released.
Yeah, I watched them.
The last CGI one, no. I did watch
that. No, not right. I'm talking about when it first was airing. There was a specific episode run where they focused just on the soldiers and those military operations. That was one of my favorite episodes. See, that's what I'm saying. If it's a standalone movie, they can go wild with it. And I mean wild as in creativity, like taking risks that otherwise the studios would not approve.
Right.
That could actually work to their advantage.
There's rumors that it's going to be about, well, not to cut you off, but there's going to be rumors is the genesis pretty much of the Rebel Alliance and kind of them stealing the plans that for the Death Star. That's going to be the primary objective in the film. Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
And that's going to be similar to Black Hawk Down and Saving Private Ryan and all those famous war films. That's what Gareth Edwards was, trying to make this movie.
Right. I think that could be good. So that's the thing. It's like, when it's a standalone thing and it's not linked to a lot of other things, I believe it becomes much more of a creative endeavor, which is why I wish Suicide Squad was a standalone movie, because if it were...
It's standalone-ish, but is this like, are you going to have, I don't think you're going to have an overt amount of references to like what transpired.
But see, that's as of now. That's as of this date. Things might change.
I'm sorry, go ahead, man. I don't want to keep
No, go ahead. I'm done. Go ahead.
I was just saying, Common was just
cast. Let me think real quick. I agree with Tova. In fact, Tova, I watched a lot of the episodes of Clone Wars cartoon where they had just a... In fact, it's a favorite episode of mine, too, with Cole, too. It was a kind of a... it was a few episodes, actually, where it dealt with the war part, but it was with the Jedi, with the fallen Jedi. And it was on this planet. It was like the most brutal war episode, too, where you had the war. It was in this particular, plant world. And they had this war going on with these aliens, and they couldn't really... The guy was holding them up. I know Cam Sweeney was like a frog. He was with Dooku, actually, but you didn't see it. It was kind of in, three parts. But you had, a frog Jedi, and he kept leading them into certain parts of this planet, and they were getting picked off by a particular race. I don't know if you guys seen that one. I think it was, the fourth season of Clone Wars. I gotta look it up. I'll post it in a group. But it was pretty much, I like the war part. I do agree with the total. The war part, I like. I do like the Black Hawk Down part of Star Wars, as a standalone. And if anybody played Battlefront, which most of you may probably have played it, and I played Battlefront, I like that. I like seeing a man on the field type of adventure going on. Because, again, the standalones are beautiful. I love standalones myself because then you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever timeline you want to do. So even with Suicide Squad, I agree. Suicide Squad should have been really a standalone flick, a standalone movie. Because once you get tied up with continuity, then you've got
to be regular. Yeah, you become a slave to continuity. I agree with you. You can become a slave to that.
Exactly. So I feel them on that. Just like the Arrow TV show. I know comic book fans have said many times, at least you tell the connection to Batman and Superman. But here's the thing. If you put Arrow and Flash in, the Man of Steel universe, what ends up happening is you have to start explaining things. You got to get this explanation, but I like this storytelling. I like adventure. I like when a character dies. So when I watch a movie, when you watch films anyway, even before comic movies were adapted, when you watch films are unpredictable. That's why Quentin Tarantino was always a genius to me and other directors around the world. But if you watch a film, it becomes predictable. When you look at comic book films, as much as I love comic book films, they stop being unpredictable unless there's a certain kind of comic movies that's out there, if I'm making sense. So I agree. The standalone film, I'm in big support of Rogue One. I'm on that gravy train when it comes to Rogue One because, again, it's not really a slave to a certain continuity. They kind of play with different elements that we just see in Star Wars that we've never seen before. So I don't know what you guys
think. I'm just saying when everything is done, and you made some good points there, but I'm just saying when everything is said and done, if because, again, I'm still on the fence. Don't get it twisted. My opinion is
I am too.
I just hope where, you know, when these standalone films and this new trilogy is everything is finalized, that you can watch everything as an entire collective body. It's like everything fits the way it's supposed to go, like a massive design, you know.
What do you mean fits with?
Well, because I know what Rogue One is gonna. I mean, there's rumors about a film exploring the world of Star Wars, maybe the first meeting with Han Solo and Lando Calrissian. I mean, I've heard a lot.
Okay.
But I mean, I know this new trilogy is designed to transition into these new set of characters. That's pretty obvious. I mean, Harrison Ford. I doubt if Harrison Ford. Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher reprised their role in episode 8 and 9. I think this is their send-off. Now, again, I'm still opposed to this film. Don't get it twisted. I still have my issues. I just, you know, it is what it is, and if the people respond to it, I will watch it, and I'll critique it fairly. I have to be fair. You know what I'm saying? I still think this is still – I think that them – you know, cashing in like the way they're cashing in is wrong, but, you know, that's what any corporation, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is, and we'll just see. We'll see how it plays out. I'm more interested in some other films that's coming out. I mean, the debacle might change my mind. Who knows? I still think it's dead on arrival, but, you know, if something comes out of it, it comes out of it. I'm still going to be fair, you know what I'm saying? Just Snyder, man. Give us Snyder and Gore. That's like a match made in hell, man. It's like, why would you... Why would you put those two together, well, to do a Batman and Superman? Why would you do that? But obviously, Warner Brothers feel comfortable with them. Are they the cheapest guys to get?
No. They're the yes men. That's the reason why they'll always say yes to every compromise. This is why Aronofsky can't find work, because he's the opposite.
I really wish that we could have seen Darren Aronofsky's vision.
Wolverine, Batman, whoever.
I want to
Wolverine. Yeah. Shout out to Have Hope from Talkback. He did a beautiful. I see the video a long time. He did a beautiful breakdown of Wolverine. That man knows his Wolverine history very well. And I agree that Hugh Jackman was ever. I mean, I can't see whatever person in the neighborhood that no X Men. That ain't no game.
Yeah, let's say that. You know exactly. What? Let's save that one for another show. Let's save that one with Wolverine for another show, because it'll be one of that time. That one's gonna save that one, because, you know, we don't get too deep into that. But no, I agree about the Yes Men. They're corporate guys. It's pretty much obvious, just like Whedon was. These are all, at the end of the day, corporate guys, and they can't fit a bit. Like I said, with the Star Wars thing, my only final thought with Star Wars real quick is that I don't like the canon shit either. I don't like the idea that it's in comic books and you got to read novels just to understand the other movies. I think that the movie Episode 7 should just be a straight standalone. I agree with some other people online when they said that it kind of holds future movies back when you try to, like, put them in books and comic books, I think, because I've never read the Expanded Universe. I've never been an Expanded Universe person, but I'm a Star Trek Expanded Universe person, not a Star Wars one, so I've never really got into it, the Star Wars Expanded Universe, like I did with Star Trek. So, I mean, Star Trek got some convoluted stuff, too, with theirs, but I never was able to get into it, so I just think it's unfair that Disney even want to put this shit into novels and comic books and all that for people to understand. But that's just a minor nitpick. You know, I discussed that in secret.
But wait a minute. But what do you expect a good pimp to do? I mean, what does a good pimp do? I mean, that's what it is.
Oh, it's something for the project out. Oh, man, it's for the project out. You know, it's probably for that.
I was on the track right now. And, you know, so we'll see.
I don't know. It maybe it's just for fans, but you know, I'm looking forward to some smaller movies. You know, non. You know, After Age comes up next week. You know, I want to see some other films. Kind of. I am interested in Tomorrowland. I'm interested in that. I'm interested in. I'm gonna check out Poltergeist. I didn't Poltergeist.
That looks interesting. That looks. Poltergeist.
I'm gonna see that. So it's just certain things I want to see, but you know. I don't know, but
I'm excited for Mad Max.
I'm not co-signing that.
The battle continues.
I mean, I know. Listen, I can't be bothered with that.
Listen. I know it may be over the top, but it's just one of those movies where I'm just like, I'm not going in expecting a psychological story of.
It's not that. It's just that Mad Max jumped the shark ages ago, and I don't see how you can make that relevant today. Today's audience, and I know you give me the Bond example, but Bond is kind of unique because it always was. I think Bond was always set up to where, you know, as long as whoever you get in the role, cause if they retain the essence of the character what Ian Fleming originally envisioned, then you could keep going that on for years and years. Is where Mad Max seemed like. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know it's been catching a lot of heat, a lot of traction, but I can't co-sign that. I'm not the biggest Marty fan.
Yeah, that's why I don't
Marty,
do
Marty doesn't do it for me.
Part of me wants to support it because I've been a Mad Max fan for 30 years. I remember when I was a kid, I seen Mad Max in the Thunderdome at the theaters. I remember that was one of the best experiences.
I forgive you for that, man. I forgive you for that.
You know, Mel Gibson, that's before he kind of broke into this. I know he's had his issues, and people are probably going to trash me. But I've been a Mel Gibson for almost 30 years, man. I've been, as you saw, a little kid, I've been a fan of Mel Gibson. I've been a Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, well, I can't ride with Mel these days, even, man. I leave that.
Well, no, I ain't talking about the pain. But that doesn't, see, the thing is, one comment to fix your whole career. But my whole point is, I still like Lethal Weapon. I love Lethal Weapon 1. That's my all-time favorite Richard Donner action movie ever from the late 80s next to Die Hard. This is, you know, those movies were beautiful action. I wish you had movies like that today. I know I'm not forget it, but, you know, those were the best. And I forget them for the future Die Hard, the last
one. What are you talking about? You have Taken.
Don't get me started on Taken, man. This show, you know, I'm running out of time, so don't get me started on Taken. You know, I can break Taken down. So Taken wasn't meant. Let me say real quick about Taken. Taken 1 was decent, but that wasn't meant for sequel. Once they did the sequel.
Yeah, Taken was supposed to be a standalone.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Exactly. But it was disjointed. That second movie felt really disjointed. And I didn't see 3, but that second movie felt disjointed. I'm sorry. You know, it just.
I compared the second Taken movie to The Hangover Part 2. Where it was pretty much the same thing redone.
Why are we talking about Peyton?
By the way, Chosen, I wanted to ask you, what did you think of the Daredevil TV show?
I only finished the first episode. I need the finals are coming up, so I'm studying, and after that's done, I'm getting set. But it's been a pleasure, guys. Good show. Oh, great.
We're done with those finals, Charles, and we expect to get reviews from you. We expect, after those finals done, we expect you to get a really decent review of Daredevil.
All right. I've been hearing good things from people I trust, so that's good.
It's decent. I'm going to review the show later this week. Then Kevin will be reviewing it. So stay away from it if you didn't watch all the episodes, so it's going to be spoiled up. I'm going to do a TV review too, so I'm letting everybody know this is the show, the podcast. I will be doing a year of TV show. We're going to break down which was the best superhero TV show, the action show, whatever show that was on call in. Anybody can call in and give their shows and break it down. I may do a YouTube video on my selection. So, you know, everybody can have pretty much opportunity. So, anybody have any last thoughts for any blockbuster movies? Anything you guys want to say? Last thoughts before we get up?
Well, I heard that I'm excited for Age of Ultron coming out next week. I've been hearing mixed reviews about it. People saying it's more of the same. If you thought Batman v Superman was going to be crowded, just wait till you see this movie. You know, I'm still excited. You know, I can't say anything on the movie until I judge it myself, and I urge people to do the same. Don't listen to critics. Don't listen to anybody. Just go and see the movie and see what you can take from it. And, you know, I'm glad that people, you know, are loving the Star Wars trailer.
Perfect. Hey, what?
Oh, well, like always, you know, thanks for having me on here, man. And I just thanks everybody, you know, Crossfire and you know, Chosen coming on, giving their valuable input. It was another great show. Just thanks for doing it. So.
Okay. Well, Chosen, have you last words?
Yeah, I mean, as usual, good show. A good conversation with intelligent people. I appreciate that. Very good.
Oh, no problem. No problem. That's my last word. Yes, and thanks to everybody for listening in. I'd like to thank my guests on tonight, K1, Crossfire, and Chosen One for coming on the show. Shout out to my members in the California Guide Group. Shout out to my man 2.0. Shout out to AAA. Shout out to Josh Morris. Shout out to Fandom, by the way, and TalkBack. They check out, Chosen, you still on TalkBack, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, check out TalkBack, people. They've got good reviews. I used to be in TalkBack myself, but check out their podcast. They have a podcast on VTR also. I don't know if you guys are doing the episodes or not, but they do excellent movie breakdowns and TV shows and all facets of entertainment, video games and different forms of indie films and all kinds of goodies, and along with Fandom, they do too. They break down. Now, I think this week, Fandom should be talking about Age of Ultron. Some of their members, I think, seen the movie before the U.S. release, so I recommend you guys get your butts over to the Fandom and listen to their shows, and maybe go into their group, but be warned, you may get some spoilers in between that, and definitely check out my platform, California Guide. You know, you can like my California Guide fan page, or even join my group, so, you know, and then I do videos. I'm back doing videos again, people, too, so I'm going to start doing my little entertainment videos, so check that out. Oh, and this week we're going to do, again, the TV show episode. Hey, Crossfire, you down with that this week? Have you seen all the Daredevil?
Yeah, I've seen all the Daredevil, yeah.
Okay, have you caught up with Gotham and some of the other shows? Because I don't want to spoil them when I do that breakdown.
No, I haven't seen Gotham. I haven't paid attention to Gotham. The only ones that I pay attention to on the DC side is Flash and Arrow. So,
okay, well then you could be on there then. Yeah, that doesn't matter. You don't care about Gotham. Okay, well we'll do the show this week, later this week of the TV year and show. We'll break down Arrow and Flash. I did enjoy Flash. I haven't been enjoying Arrow like that, to be honest with you, people, but I'm going to say that because I know people want to hear what I think about Arrow the Tour when I do the show probably on Friday or Saturday. So thank you guys for coming on and peace out.